Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for coming tonight to the ministry training class on today, July 26, year 2005. Yeah, I know it is very tempting to not show up here in this kind of weather because we don't have this kind of days in Seattle a lot. It's very rare to have sunny day and beautiful day like this. So it's very tempting to just go and sit in the park or do something else. But I'm glad that you're still concerned about your spiritual life and the well-being of your spirit, that you will keep feeding and keep receiving, keep seeking and being hungry for God. I believe that God will reward you as you seek Him, and He see your heart that you are hungry and thirsty for His kingdom. Tonight I would like to share about motivations, the godly motivations in preaching the gospel, in serving the Lord, preaching the gospel or evangelizing or reaching out to the lost and building the church. So in evangelism or in preaching the gospel, we need to do it with the right motivation. And tonight I want to give you some example in the Bible, the right motivations of preaching the gospel and reaching out to the lost. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we come to you with an open heart. We come to you with a sensitive mind that we can hear from your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, we know that without your word, we will not have a clear direction. Without your truth, we can be deceived. Without your washing water, that is the word of God, we will not be cleansed. We will not be, Lord, become beautiful bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit teach your people through this class and through this session, Lord. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we love you and we ask you to give us a new heart, a new spirit, that we have the right motivation in the ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We would like to have noble motivations in reaching out to the lost, in evangelism, in preaching the gospel. And if you study the Bible carefully, you can see that the Bible really clearly say or tell us about the right motivation in doing the work of God. Let's look at John chapter 14 verse 31 together, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the best and perfect example to all of us. John chapter 14 verse 31, "But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." Jesus say what? I do the commands of the Father because I love Him. I believe that this is the most important motivation that you should have in the ministry or in reaching out to the lost. You can prepare meal to invite the unbelieving friend to your house. You may take your friend out to play tennis to reach out to them. You may invite friend to come to care group or come to church. No matter what you try to do to reach out to the lost, you need to do out of the love for God. You reach out to them because you love Him. You want to obey His command. You want to make sure that your love for God is not just a theory or just written in the paper or just nice idea, but it must produce action. The love for God must come out in our action. That's why Jesus said, I love the Father, and I do not, and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Everyone say, exactly. So the same thing, if we really love God, we will do exactly what the Bible says. I want to really encourage all of you to check your thought process, your mindset, your thinking all the time, and your action daily. What you do, what you think, what you say. You always check with the Bible whether you have the secular thinking or you have biblical thinking. It's very important to line up your thought process or your attitude and your mindset in the Word of God. Always check with the Word of God, because if you love God, you will always obey the command of God. You will check and you will put the Word of God before, ahead of your own idea and your own attitudes and your own thinking. You always check with the Word of God. This is what I do all the time in my life. Whenever I begin to have some idea or want to do something, I will check with God first whether I'm doing what God tell me to do according to the Bible or not, or according to what the Spirit tell me or not. Amen. I'm not just doing something out of my own agenda. I need to obey God. If I love God, I obey God. Amen. So Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 14 verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. In verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. In chapter 15 verse 10 says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Amen. So your motivation in obeying the command of God is that you love Him so much. You love the Father. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He loved you first. Amen. You don't do it just because you want to fulfill the vision. Or you don't do it just because you have a number to reach to. You know, sometimes people can serve God because of the quota. You know, I have 5 people to reach out to as my quota, so I'm going to have to do it to show to my pastor that I have done my job. So that is the wrong motivation. The motivation should be the love for God. Amen. Even though we have the vision, we have the numbers of people we want to reach out to. We want to see thousands of people come into the church. But what is the motivation behind that number? Just for reputation, just to be famous, just to prove that we are successful? No, it should be the love of God. We love God and we want to obey His command. And then God will be pleased. You know, we have to be very careful, especially in this Western world or in the metropolitan area, because we are trained in the secular thinking all the time. And the secular thinking is that, you know, we want to see more money. We want to see fame and reputation, and we want people to really put thumb up for us. So sometimes the motivation of serving God may be not something else, not the love for God, but for our own reputation or our own agenda. So we need to have really a pure heart in serving God. Amen. And one of the pure things that we should have in our heart is that we love God. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, this is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. Wow, what a beautiful word. If we love God, the command of God is not a burden. Amen. If you reach out to the lost, if you go out of your own way to pick up your friends to come to church, Maybe you pick up the phone to call somebody to come to church or come to care group. Maybe your friend rejects you. And you're going to feel that, oh, you know, this is a problem. I have a heartache. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to give up. If you think that way, maybe the level of the love of God in your heart is very small. But if you are motivated by the love of God, it doesn't matter. If people reject, you still reach out to them. Is that right? If people may not accept Christ now, but you still reach out to them, you still love them, you still call them, you still email them, you still invite them and continue to show love because you are moved by the internal power inside you. And that power is the love of God. Amen. It's not the circumstances that move you. It's not the number that move you, but the love of God inside you. That you love God so much. I know that this is a very simple teaching, but I believe that we all need to be reminded about this thing all the time because we tend to go into the secular thinking all the time. We are around with friends in the office. We are around by, surrounded by people in the world all the time. So we tend to forget what the Bible says. And that's why we come back to the church, to our own company, and we'll be reminded of the Word of God. And I even remind myself that what I'm doing here, why I'm coming to church on Sunday, why I go to reach out to people, why I try to get people to come to God. Because I love God. No other agendas. Amen. Because we love God. And what is the command of God in the Bible? And this command is given to every believer. The command is this. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. So what is the command? Go and make disciples. Go reach out to the lost. Get them saved. Come in. Disciple them. Love them. Train them. Amen. Evangelism is not done only at the time people accept Christ. Evangelism is not done just because people walk to the altar call. Evangelism continue by discipling them, reaching out to them. I remember when Sister Thai got saved in 1987. Around 1987 or 1986. I and Pastor Da called her at home, drove to Belleville to visit her, taught her 9 Jesus command, and tried to reach out to her to disciple her because we know that evangelism is not done only when she accepted Christ. We need to continue to go back and reach out and teach them and train them and always help them to grow. Because if people don't grow, they will backslide again and they will go back to the world again. So that's why evangelism and making disciples blend together. Amen. It's kind of almost we call one job together. You need to do both. You need to evangelize and disciple people. And again, if you are filled with the love of God, you will love those people. Even new believers, you love them. You want to help them to grow. Amen. One of the reason I love revival and the move of God, because the touch of the Holy Spirit will come in and shake us up a little bit to come back to the first love for Jesus again. Otherwise, we're going to come to church eventually as a routine religious function and commitment or obligation. How many times you go to church and you go to care group because of obligation? You feel that I have obligation to go to care group. Actually, God wants to move you to a little bit further, to higher level of spiritual maturity. Yes, it's good to be faithful and to commit yourself to your responsibility to go to care group or to reach out to the lost. But that is not enough. You should go because you love God. That's why revival come in. To stir people up. into the first love for Jesus again. We all need to be burned by the fire of God. We all need to be touched by the fire of God. Amen. That's why revival never ends. Have to come back to the church all the time. So stir people up to the love of God, to be touched by God again and again and again and again. We have a tendency to forget the love of God and end up into religion, end up into tradition, end up into obligation, instead of moving by the first love for Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith and your labor prompted by love. Nothing wrong to work hard, but we serve God, the ministry that we do, we reach out, we disciple people, we do the ministry. Our ministry should be prompted by the love of God. Amen. If you feel that you don't have a lot of the love of God right now, I encourage you to read the Bible more. I encourage you to come to the prayer line. I encourage you to seek the touch of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to come back to be touched by God, because we all need that. Even as a pastor, I need that. That's why I need to go and sit in revival service sometime, just to soak in and to be touched by God, because I need to be revived to myself. Otherwise, I end up serving God. You know, I listen to many testimonies of many pastors when I went to revival services, and they admitted. You know, I remember one pastor of a big church, 4,000 members. He said that, thank God for revival. I think that I listened to that testimony in 1998. He said that he built such a big church, run, and the church growing, and he did not even know that he was backsliding. But because of his gifting, and because of his anointing, and because of powerful speaker on the pulpit, on the stage, the church keep growing. But he did not know until one day he got touched by the fire of God in a revival meeting. He's just knocked down by the fire of God. When he got out from the floor, he find out that he did not have relationship with Jesus anymore. He did not love God. He just think about church growth. I want to grow my church. I want to be famous. Oh, he just forced people to work hard. He just used the whip, spiritual whip, to whip people to work hard and to do this. And he want to see more number to come in. And he want to be famous. He want to be, you know, actually, thank God that people come in to know Jesus. But the whole thing is that he forced people into religion and into tradition in the church. And he really find out that he backslid completely for many years. He never really spent time with Jesus that much. He did not fall in love with Jesus. He just do it out of being a pastor, getting paid, and want to grow the church. It's like almost like a business. Amen. He feel like, this is my business. I'm going to have to grow my business like a franchise. You want to grow your restaurant. You want to have more customer come in. You want to see more people to come in and pay money and pay tithe. So it can end up that way. And I have to admit to you that I have to check my heart all the time. What I'm doing here in this church? And God kept telling me, you are here to build loving families. This is a family. We want to build a loving community. That people come in, get to know Jesus. God kept telling me like this all the time. Bring people come in to know me and have a deep and intimate relationship with me. That's why I don't want to quit revival. Because I want people to come in and fall in love with Jesus all the time. Amen. If we are not careful, we're going to end up being another business in this church. Do this and that and this to build a business. So I don't want that. I want to keep the heart of love for the heart of God, the love for God all the time. Amen. Should we do that? Should we remind ourselves what we're doing each day? Because we love God. Amen. We love Jesus so much. That's the number one motivation. The second motivation that we should have is the motivation of being thankful or appreciative of God. We should appreciate God. The Bible says like this in 1 John chapter 4 verse 19. We love because He first loved us. Have you ever sat down and counted the blessings, the things that God has done for you in your life? Have you ever sat down and try to brought back the pictures of what God have done for you? God healed you. God provide you with a job. God gave you a raise. God protected you that day from the accident. God brought you to know good friends in the church. Count the blessing. You know, if you don't know how to appreciate God, I can guarantee you don't know how to appreciate people. We need to appreciate people that has done good things to us. Is that right? We need to learn how to appreciate God too. And when we appreciate God, we want to do good things to God, for God. We want to bless Him back. He blesses us, we bless Him back. So one of the motivations is that because God is so good to me, He died for me, He touched me, He healed me, I want to do good back to Him. I want to pay it back. I want to be a good child. I don't want God to have a headache because of me. Amen. I want God to be happy with me. I want God to smile in His throne. I want to pay back. The last thing in the world I don't want to do is to make God feel sad about my life. I want to see His smile all the time. Because He is so good to me, I want to be good to Him. Can we have that attitude toward God? Can we have that motivation? Amen? When people do good to you, do you appreciate them? You appreciate. You want to do good back to them. Is that right? I want to be that kind of people. Amen? So, look at the Bible. Look at this man who was healed from leprosy. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. A man with leprosy came to Him and begged Him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. "I am willing," He said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stay outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This man was so touched by the love of God. He was so overwhelmed by the grace of Jesus Christ that Jesus healed him from leprosy. You know that leprosy is incurable disease at that time. Even nowadays, if people have leprosy, they can be healed, but the evidence of leprosy cannot be healed. The skin changes, the joint changes, all these things will not be healed by medication. So to be healed from that kind of sickness at that time is a big deal. And this man was so filled with appreciation in his heart. He went out right away and told everyone that, "God heal me. I want to tell you, God is so good to me." Can we do that? Do we have a soft heart and always appreciate what God has done for us and appreciate people around us? Amen. I appreciate Da so much. And that's what the last person in the world that I want to hurt the feeling is Pastor Da. I'm talking about human being. I don't want to hurt Pastor Da's feeling. You know why? She has been so good to me all this 25. Actually, we know each other longer than that. We know each other since 1967 or something. Is that right? 1967. So we know each other for a long time. And she has been good, so good to me. I don't want to hurt her feeling. Amen. And so many pastors in the world have been a blessing to my life. Pastor Dan Kopp, missionary to Thailand. You know, Pastor Joseph has been influenced, have been influenced to my life. Many pastors. You know, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, Pastor Paul Cornish, all these people has done good things to me. Many leaders in the church has done good things to my life. I appreciate and I want to really be good to them. Amen. So we should have that kind of attitude that we should show appreciation to people. The same thing if we appreciate God, we want to tell people about Him. We want to bring people to Him and love Him and worship Him and serve Him. Amen. Because God is so good to us. Amen. Are you thankful to God? Do you appreciate God? What He has done for us? Amen. Let's give the mighty hand to praise God together. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Why we live for Jesus? Because He loved us first, because His goodness to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Number three, the third motivation. The first motivation, the love of God. The second motivation is appreciation of God's grace and God's love upon our life. Amen. Now look at the third motivation. Third motivation. Look at Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Wow, what a strong sentence here. That if Paul tried to please men, he cannot be a servant of God. So the third motivation that we need to do is to please God. We want to please God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 4, on the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God. Amen. We are trying to please God, not please men. So the same thing. When we evangelize, sometimes we may be persecuted. Sometimes we may be rejected. Sometimes we have disappointments. Sometimes we feel that, wow, I spent all this energy to save this person, but he rejected me. He walked away from me. You may feel discouraged. You may feel rejected. But I want to let you know that at least God smiled at you. And God is happy because you obey His commands. You know, it's very important that we all have the eyes in heaven. We need to have focus our eyes on the things above. Because if we focus our eyes on the things that man look at, then we will feel discouraged easily. Amen? We need to look at God all the time, say, God, I do this for you, and you're pleased with me. I'm happy because you're pleased with me. Amen. All these years, for the past 20 years, I've been serving God. And I know that there are good times and bad times in my life. Disappointments, setbacks, and rejection, and misunderstanding, all these things happen. But one thing that keep me going is this, that I keep my eyes on God and say, God, I have done my best. I live my life to please you. And I know that you are happy with me. That's all it counts for me. Amen. I have done my best. And I'm going to keep doing that until I died, until I will be with you. It's okay that if people may not understand me, but I want to obey you and please you. I want to please God more than anyone else. Amen. So we need to have that motivation, the motivation to please the Lord, more than men. That's why sometimes when you share the gospel with people, they may be mad at you. And are you going to please them or are you going to please God? If you want to please God, people may not like it when you share the gospel. When you get up and talk about God, when you begin to invite people to come to church, you may say, oh, my friend may reject me. That's okay. Reach out to them. Don't give up. Because you are here to please God. Amen. Because sometimes we are afraid of man so much that we don't want to reach out. We say, oh, maybe if I do this, if I tell people about Christianity or I give them the Bible, maybe these people will be mad at me. You need to come back to the question again. Are you pleasing God? Are you pleasing men? Today, a woman in the hospital reached out to me. I walk into an elevator, and I think she knows that I'm a doctor. This American lady walked into the elevator with me, and then she turned to me and said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" Wow. I mean, this lady was so bold. She said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" I said, "I like it." This lady is so bold. She wants to witness to me, but I told her that I believe in Jesus. She smiled and happy. She said, "Oh, thank God!" But I can tell that she really bold. You know, she's not afraid that this doctor is gonna be look at her like, "Are you crazy?" You know what I mean? So the same thing. On this trip on the weekend, we went into a taxi. And we met a taxi driver. Right away, I reach out to him. "Oh, you know, God, this and that. Oh, I hope you can move to Seattle. God, I tried to witness to this man, and I gave him the church card too. One day, if you come to Seattle, please come and call me. You know, God is so good." And he said that he's Catholic. But I tried to tell him that, you know, we just believe in Jesus. We believe in the Bible. You remember that? I reached out to that taxi driver. So we try to reach out to people as much as we can so that whether they are mad at us or not, it's between them and God. But we want to please God more than men. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to say this. Maturity is not about knowing a lot of Bible. What I'm sharing tonight is a sign of maturity. Amen. Just to sit at home reading the Christian book, you are not, doesn't mean you're going to become mature. Maturity is starting from the heart. You need to have the right heart. You need to have the right motivation in what you're doing for God. Amen. So number one, the love for God. Number two, appreciation. Number three, pleasing God. Number four, you want to give God all the glory and honor. You want to glorify God. Look at Daniel. When Daniel reached out to the king, this is what he said in Daniel chapter 2, verses 26 to 28. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No, wise man, enchanter, magician, and diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." In other words, Daniel did not go in and say, "By the way, God, King, I'm great. I have all the wisdom. I'm going to tell you what the interpretation is all about in your dream." He said, "No, my God can tell you." Amen. So you need to witness. You need to give, when you witness, you need to give glory to God. You need to tell God. To tell people that God is the one who blessed you. God is the one who blessed your job. God is the one who blessed your hand. God is the one who will bring you this far. He saved you. You know, you need to give all the glory to God. Amen. Today, three times in a row, that my patients told me that, "Oh, your reputation has gone far beyond what you can imagine." Three times in a row. One in the hospital and two in the office, they say, "Oh, I met somebody in Renton," and they say, "Oh, you went to the right doctor. My physical therapist say that you are the greatest doctor. I will go to this man if I have back problem and neck problem." You know, after I listen and say, "I want to give glory to God. Actually, God give me all this ability. I didn't take glory with myself. I point my finger up like this." When people say, I make my hand like this, and they say, "Oh yeah, okay." You talk, you say that you give God's glory. They know people. I point finger up right away. Say God is the one who blessed me and give me all this ability in my hand to be a good surgeon. So you need to give God the glory. Amen. So the fourth motivation. In order to do the will of God, in order to reach out to the lost, in making disciples. I don't want you to quit making disciples. Please, reach out to the sheep in your care group. Continue to disciple them. Continue to love them. Continue to meet with them. Either as a group or one-on-one. Love these people for the glory of God. Remember this. The devil has the plan. He has the plan to slow down the growth of the new believers in the church. The devil has the plan to block these people from growing. The devil has the plan to pull them down. And we serve the living God. Our job is to help them to grow as fast as they can. Why? Because the faster they come into the kingdom, and the faster they grow spiritually, the more threatening to the kingdom of darkness there will be. That's why the devil wants to polarize all these new believers and our members in the church. We will do everything, my dear brother and sister, because we want to glorify God. We are happy to do anything to help people around us to grow faster. We are the agent. We are the ambassador. We are the vessel used by God to help other people to come into the kingdom and to grow. Amen. We are willing to do anything. If I have to comb my hair 10 times a day in order to help somebody to grow, I will comb my hair 10 times a day. If Pastor Da have to clean up her house 3 times a day to make sure that her sheep will grow, she will clean her house 3 times a day. If I need to watch the way I speak every single minute to help people to grow, I will do it because I want to fight against the enemy and I want to give glory to God, because I know that if Christians grow faster, they will give glory to God. Amen. Immaturity never give glory to God. Secularism, carnality, immaturity bring bad name to God. Amen. So we need to grow as fast as we can, and we need to help people to grow. We need to bring people into the kingdom. The more people join the church, the more people come in and get saved in the church, God gets more glory. More people come and worship God. I want to see this room filled up. Amen. I want to see every chair filled up. More people come and worship God. And eventually all the members have to stand on the side and then give the seat to the guests. I don't mind. We just stand on the side the 2 hours. Are you willing to stand for 2 hours in the service if more people join into the church? I mean, are you willing? I'm serious. Are you happy to see more people come into the church? Are you happy to see more people saved? You know, when I accumulate those numbers, 116 now, this year, since January, we have 116 people saved in all our church system. I got the email last week that 5 people accepted Christ in north part of Thailand called Lampang. I was so happy. And then the church sent right away a family up there to visit them. I say, copy all the CD and give all of them all this CD so that they can listen to the sermon, and maybe you can choose start a church in Lampang. Amen. So we're happy to see more people come into the kingdom because we want to give God the glory. We want to give him the glory. More people come to go to heaven, the better. Amen. We are on the winning side. We need to believe this. We are on the winning side. And the winner will bring more people into the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 17 verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Are you going to complete the work that God gives you to do? Are you going to quit in the middle and have a good time on earth here? Or you're going to just take vacation, take a break for 5 years? Are you going to run the race to the end? They just have that bicycle race in, I think, in France. Is that right? How many weeks? I think 2 weeks. Go on and on. That marathon bicycle race. I saw that in the TV. They keep going and going and going to the end. You know, they may have a little bit of break to rest their leg, but they want to get to the finish line. Are we going to get to the finish line together? Are we going to run the race to the end? Serving the Lord to the end. Amen. To give glory to God. Amen. I want to encourage all of you. Let us all set our mind. Settle our mind right now that our church gonna bring in thousands of people into the kingdom of God. Amen. In the next 10 years. Amen. Amen. And we're gonna see churches in Japan. We're going to see churches in Seattle area. We're going to see more churches. We're going to see more people come in. And this room is going to be packed and filled. Let's fill up this room together. And after it's filled up, then we send a group of people to North Seattle, start another church out there. Amen. And I can give this church to somebody, and I will be traveling between two churches to help both churches. Amen. We should have a church in Renton. We should have a church in Issaquah. We can do it. Amen. God can help us to do it. But we need to set our goal together that we're going to give glory to God before we die. We want to bring as many as people to the kingdom as we can by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, I got the email from Henry about Simi. And Simi,
we trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.